first list of call. In the Presbyterian ordination process, that question was asked of me about a million times. It was asked by the session of my home church as they determined whether to recommend me to the presbytery for consideration. It was asked by what was then called the Presbytery Candidates Committee as they determined whether to accept the session recommendation. It was asked by the presbytery itself a whole bunch of times at a whole bunch of meetings. It was asked by a whole phalanx of seminary admissions officers. It was asked by a psychologist as part of the screening process. It was asked by members of a PNC and pastor nominating committee at a tiny little church in Chicago, and it has been asked by PNCs since, including yours, a little less than a year ago. Tell me about your sense of call. Sense of call is a very funny term. Sometimes a call makes no sense whatsoever. That's true for ministers, but it's also true, I presume, for anything we sense we are called to do. Our work, our relationships, our commitments. Why am I doing this? It can have a very particular take in the moment, but it can also have a meta take. Why am I doing this? We ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Because we hope we're called to it. Whether that call makes sense. In this case, a sense of call is more than a feeling, but it includes our feelings, our perceptions, our impulses, our prayers, our discernments, inputs from others, so that the place where we land feels right, if not always sensible. One of the gifts of our tradition is made to the world is the reminder that we all have senses of call. Heaven forbid that a call is ever an exclusive ministerial thing. How dreadful would that be? Sometimes it's about the work we do for compensation. That's called a career. But sometimes not, which is why we should avoid conflating call and career, so that what we do does not slide too easily into who we are. Perhaps our call is exercised when we are away from work in a variety of ways. Parenting, perhaps a volunteer, perhaps. Or perhaps our call is worked out, at least in part, in our professional lives. Teachers, nurses, accountants, police officers, factory workers. You'll hear me talk about call a great deal. You also hear words like vocation and gifts. They are interrelated. All are called. All are gifted. All have vocation. Vocations being the places where we live out our call and utilize our gifts. We get a strong sense of that as Paul begins his first letter to the little church in Corinth. First, Paul confirms that he has been called to be an apostle. That's important to establish himself. Then the church in Corinth is told by Paul that they are called to be saints. Then he tells them that they have been called into the fellowship of Christ. So if you're keeping score, that's three calls in just a handful of verses, which means that we should pay attention. The Greek word is rightly translated call. But it can also mean invite or invitation, which indicates that God's call seeks a response. are invited to respond, and we have every qualification, every spiritual gift, to say yes. John the Baptist is kind of hanging out with some of his disciples, his followers. We don't know what that means, followers and disciples. What was their status? Did they have a job description? Were they compensated for this? Jesus walks by, and John identifies him as the Lamb of God. John's followers, his disciples, are instantly and intently curious. So they follow Jesus. They follow Jesus, which reminds me of an African-American spiritual. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The disciples followed Jesus. What are you looking for? He asks. Which really is the question, isn't it? What are you looking for? They pursue the conversation, and he says to them, come and see. What are you looking for? You choose things, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And Jesus simply says, come and see. We search, we look, we are hungry for something, for meaning, for hope, for connection, for purpose. We do not know the disciples' context, but we resonate with them and their quest, do we not? What are you looking for? Something about that moment, that invitation, who Jesus is, what he offers, draws them in and draws us in. Resonates with our deepest sense of call. Who knows what those disciples thought they were getting themselves into? My hunch is that they could not even have come close to imagining where the next 3 years would take them. From the highest of the heights to the lowest of lows, from great joy and contentment to exceeding doubt and betrayal and fear. That's what a sense of call does. Not only does it not always make sense, it takes you to surprising and unexpected places. Not always easy places, sometimes difficult places, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But you can. I hope and pray that the difficulty never overwhelms the discernment that got you there. Or the meaning you find when you get there. Was this week remembering a minister friend, the late Donald Roth, who was with his wife joining our church in Rochester after more than 40 years of distinguished ministry. Early in the ministry, Don was called to a congregation in southern Illinois, closer to St. Louis than Chicago. This was in the early 1960s. Fairly typical congregation, a place where people with different backgrounds and perspectives sermons and interviews. In some ways, being a minister's kid, it felt inevitable, except that's not always the case. What he really wanted to do was to be an academic, to write books and to teach in a seminary after receiving his PhD. But the convergence of the moment and the need and his gifts would allow it. Jesus said to him, "Come and see." And King found a history-making and a history-shaping opportunity. His RSVP led him from Nobel Prize, to marches, to great pulpits, led him to Memphis. In April 1963, it led him to Birmingham to protest racism, and then led him to jail. He wrote his famous letter from Birmingham jail in response to something called a call to unity, a statement by eight white Alabama religious leaders, including a Presbyterian minister, criticizing King and criticizing his methods. Crack the letter down, read it in its entirety. But let me share an extended portion now. King wrote, "I have been so greatly disappointed with the white church and its leadership. I do not say this as one of those negative critics who can always find something wrong with the church. I say this as a minister of the gospel who loves the church, who is nurtured in its bosom, who has been sustained by its spiritual blessings, and who will remain true to it. It was only when I was suddenly catapulted into the leadership of the bus protest in Montgomery, Alabama, a few years ago, I felt we would be supported by the white church. That the white ministers, priests, and rabbis of the South would be among our strongest allies. Instead, some have been outright opponents, refusing to understand the freedom movement and misrepresenting its leaders. All too many others have been more cautious than courageous, and remained silent behind the anesthetizing security of stained glass windows. In the midst of blatant injustices, King wrote, inflicted upon the Negro, I have watched white churchmen stand on the sideline, and with pious irrelevancies and sanctimonious trivialities. In the midst of a mighty struggle to rid our nation of racial and economic injustice, I've heard many ministers say those are social issues with which the gospel has no real concern. And I've watched many churches commit themselves to a completely otherworldly religion, which makes a strange, unbiblical distinction between body and soul, between the sacred and the secular. He concludes, in deep disappointment, I have wept over the laxity of the church. But be assured, he says, that my tears have been tears of love. There can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. Yes, I love the church. Yes, I see the church as the body of Christ. But oh, how we have blemished and scarred that body through social neglect and through fear of being nonconformist. Each of us is asked the question, what are you looking for? The church is asked as well. When we look, whether 1963 or 2020, when we come and see, we see racism. Our calling as individuals, given spiritual gifts to make a difference, is to combat and eradicate racism. So is our calling as a church, as this particular congregation, predominantly white, with considerable resources, with the capacity, but more so with the spiritual gifts to follow. How will we follow? How will we use our gifts? It may not be what we think we're looking for, but it is what Jesus shows us when we follow him, becoming therefore a profound his own sense of call. Yes, Jesus, he said, I